This is the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. Rafe Esquith, Joy Berry, I am honored to be Paula Gordon in the presence of people at the Leading Edge. Rafe, as we were talking in the break, these are kids. These are little kids. These are 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really talked about either Shakespeare or a rock and roll. Shakespeare, 10 years old. Help me with this.
Well, first of all, two things you have to remember. 100 years ago, kids always read Shakespeare.
Yes.
People that came across this country in covered wagons, they brought a medical book, a law book, and Shakespeare. Somewhere it became this elitist thing you study in college. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare was written... Shakespeare would be a TV writer today. It's nothing fancy about this guy.
And you'd be listening to it. You wouldn't
would be
reading it.
Well, that's the key. And the other thing that you need to know that I really try and get across in this book is teachers have gotten lost. All teachers bring gifts and passions yes. from their own experiences. I think if you're a great gardener, you should spend part of your day gardening with the children. Make it a science lesson. Make it a math lesson. But find a way to synthesize your passions and your interests in the state curriculum. I have three loves in this world. Baseball, rock and roll, and Shakespeare. And they are all integral parts of my class. And Joy was saying before, the kids that do Shakespeare with me, they're not Shakespearean actors. They're not going to be Shakespearean actors. But what are they really learning? What are they really learning? They're learning about language and teamwork and listening to one another and speaking in front of a group of people and the responsibility to a team. You know, that's not a bad set of skills for a kid to have in his pocket.
Very true.
You know, and that's the big thing about my class. What is the bigger lesson? Because we just had the entire Royal Shakespeare Company and Ian McKellen come to watch a performance. It was quite a day.
That's kind of scary.
Not at all. Because they felt they were with their fraternity of brothers and sisters.
In the
people
theater?
That love Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was hysterical because when Ian took the kids to see his production of King Lear, he put them in front of Denzel Washington and Tom Hanks and said, the kids are much more important than those guys. But what I'm saying is...
And that's true.
If you love 15th century Italian poetry, make it a part of your classroom. Because I love Shakespeare and know a lot about him, I'm very good at translating his language into the mind of a child. And if you think about it, you know, when we did Henry IV, for example, which is about a young prince seeking honor in a dishonorable world and making choices, you don't think a kid growing up in central Los Angeles can understand that theme? The themes are all yes. there, but you cannot simply tell a kid, hey, Shakespeare's great, go home and read him. I walk the kids through this stuff. I take the time. Last year, here's a frightening statistic. We counted the hours we worked on Macbeth. We did a full production of Macbeth. When you added up all the hours of the children, it was 53,000 hours. Of course they're good at it.
And you treat this with the kind of respect that you treat everything else in your classroom. You give these kids CDs, they take it home, and instead of listening to, forgive my prejudice here, ugly, violent, misogynist rap music, they're listening to the words that they also can learn, and they treat it in a musical way. If one were to approach life musically, Joy, wouldn't one have a better life to be?
I would think so. Certainly. There would be...
It's just great fun. And then because I love rock and roll, we put rock and roll music into the play. So, for example, when Hamlet does the to be or not to be soliloquy, technically that's a one-person scene. But if you do R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts in the background, as we do, now you've got 10 kids involved. Then if you teach children to sign, which we do,
yes.
now you have 20 children involved in the scene. And it becomes this team. And if you ever ask my children, who's the star of the play? They'll say, Shakespeare. It's his words. We're just the lucky ones who get to say them.
Which is, and Joy, I want both of you really to speak to this. You talk about the culture that's so sick in America.
It is.
A culture of mediocrity is how you describe it, although I think that's the nicest thing you could say about it, with the celebrity stuff and the violence and all of this. When one gives kids a high goal, and when one's expectations are excellent, haven't you changed the entire game?
Of course.
And isn't that what a teacher is supposed to do?
A teacher is supposed to do, but Rafe has made a number of discoveries about himself in connection with his children. So it's not just looking at a book to find out how do we do this, but instead it's a living experience.
And it's a long experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have to fail often. And, you know, I learned so many young teachers are afraid to say, I'm having a bad day or I've made a mistake. I don't think less of a young teacher. I think more of them. They're honest, they're open. And once we talk about our mistakes and our frustrations, we can get better at them. I think one of the reasons people admire me is I write about my failures and mistakes. It doesn't make me less of a person. I'm a human being. I have bad days. I make poor decisions. The longer I do it, I have more better days, and I make better decisions. But it takes a long time.
How do the kids feel about all of this? Clearly, this is all about the kids. And it's easy to talk about the teachers. It's easy to talk about the parents. What's the interior of a kid coming in? First, I guess I wanted to ask, how does a kid get into your class? Do we have long lines to get into your class?
It's incredible. I mean, it's almost sick what goes on.
And what about all the kids who don't get in?
Well, my wife, Barb, has solved that problem. There are three activities which my class is famously known for. One is learning how to solve math problems. Mm-hmm. And one is rock and roll, and one is Shakespeare. And the math is done before school. The music
at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, it's a good time to be up. And then you have the music at recess and lunch, and you have the Shakespeare after school, which allows all children of the fourth and fifth grade to come if they want to come.
And that's many, many, many kids?
Oh, I work with about 100 at a time in that room. You open the door and kids fall out the door. And that's another myth that our kids don't want to learn. I mean, you know the expression, if you build it, they will come? The kids want to be there. People, of all the letters I get, at the end of the PBS film when Hamlet was over, the kids were weeping as school was over. And people said, kids are usually celebrating when school is over. But this is their place that they love to come. If I can share a failure of mine, though, Joy was talking about, you know, creating these cultures, high expectations. In my early years, I got the kids up high, but when they went off to middle and high school, many of them back into gangs and drugs because they were swallowed up by that sea of mediocrity. And it was Barbara who had the idea of me starting a Saturday program where I work with my former students in middle school and high school, prepping them for college, taking them on college tours, keeping them strong, because it's not enough. Like Joy was saying, you can't just read a book. You can't just tell a kid, be strong, and send him off for 6 years and expect him to be strong. He needs constant support and mentorship. So for me, it's a lifelong commitment to each child.
And each child to the other children.
That's right.
And he has thousands of children.
At this point, it's a lot. It's
thousands of youngsters.
Mm-hmm. Is that enough? You have to seed the process. Is that enough to have Rafe's kids? Or do you have to have those people? I know you have generations, the P.S., I've forgotten the number, who call you up after they've been out of your classroom for decades, shall we just say decades? Mm-hmm. Is it enough to have that packet of seeds, that packet of hope? Is it enough?
I don't think it's enough yet. Not yet. We've got to do better. I mean, for every, you know, Ian McKellen once made the statement. He said, when I come to Rafe's class, I always cry. He said, it's partly happiness, but it's also regret that so many children are not getting a quality education. So I don't think it's enough yet.
It's not enough, but these children do take to the rest of the world, and they're going, your children from years old
they're doing great
have
things.
Gone to the around the world, and they take to the world this whole sense of excellence and this whole sense of giving that I have gained. And so it's not just holding it here. Instead, we're saying that you're spreading it through the world. It's a small group, but it's growing.
And there is a sense of, well, if not me, who? If not now, when?
Well, this is a laboratory. I mean, this is the most fantastic laboratory, learning laboratory I've heard about. And just wanted to say to you personally, this really just made me feel so good. I read it and I said, yes, this is real. And this is the kind of laboratory to which we would want folks to gravitate. And it just bothers me that we do not have the administrators hot on this tail.
Well, the problem is, and you know, it's funny you say that because, and here's a sad statement about our system. There are many young teachers who admire what I do and want to take many of the ideas. And then administrators will say, you can't do that. And they'll say, well, we see Rafe do it. Well, you're not Rafe. And so why should they be Rafe? They shouldn't be Rafe.
So what That's do they it. Do?
Some of them give up. Some of them I counsel to work the system. Mm-hmm. One is if you have an administrator who isn't supportive, don't fight with them. It's wasted energy.
True.
It's wasted. You know, I give every ounce of energy to the children. Mm-hmm. I never fight with people. Even though in my early years people treated me like I was the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I don't fight with people because what do you get from that?
Nothing.
Nothing. If people tell me, well, kids can't do Shakespeare, I just say, okay.
But you go back to the classroom and do Shakespeare.
You know, my hero was Marva Collins, you know, and her mm-hmm. statement, I will, is more important than IQ, mm-hmm. yeah. had a huge effect on me when I was a young teacher.
Yeah. Tell us again who Marva Collins is.
She's the brilliant educator in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Who went into the rough neighborhoods and said, you will learn. She was very Socratic in her method. Every answer led to 12 more questions. You were the process, you're never finished. And the respect for each child and demanding of respect for each other and for her.
Right? I have had the experience of people who think that they're done learning things when they get out of either high school or college or get their PhD or whatever letters they put behind their names, as if that they're done at that point. And one of the things that I found so heartening and hopeful is this whole notion that you go in with these kids who are 9, 10, 11 years old, and you make it very clear that this is the beginning. It all opens from here, and it's never going to end.
One of the there's a famous school, and I don't know why they're famous. People think they're really great. They're not that great. It's a series of charter schools that pretend to be based on my class. And in my class, we have a wall of fame where we have college banners all over the classroom. And when the kids make it to college, we put their name under each banner. So we have hundreds of names up on the wall. And one of the people from the school came to me and said, what kind of ceremony do you have when you put the name up on the wall? I said, ceremony? What are you talking about? It's usually about 9 at night. I'm there. The room is empty. I try to find some tape, and I stick it on the wall.
Sounds like a ceremony to me.
You know, we don't strut. And we don't ever cross the finish line. And we never, in this culture, this MTV, look at me, and you know, you score a touchdown, so you have to dance around the stadium and cheer yourself. We don't do that. We're very quiet and humble, and we finish a Shakespeare play, and we blow everybody away, and then we say, okay, time to clean up. And we.
And the star of the play is Shakespeare, not the kid who then next goes and scrubs the tables.
This is not something that is on the report card, but I believe in humility.
Yes.
I think it's an ignored part of the American culture that I admire. I like humble people. I like, and there are athletes that you never see on television who are extraordinary people. When I was growing up, Rafer Johnson and Sandy Koufax in Los Angeles were my heroes. And they were extraordinary men who, they let their actions do the talking.
Ah, what a concept. We'll be back in just a moment and let some more of those actions do the talking. Be with us when we return.